Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal and the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Ooh. Good morning, everybody. Woo! This is a great, beautiful day, the beginning of a new year, a new season of service to the Lord. And you chose to come out in this weather. Why'd you do that? Hey, it is nice out there, really, once you get on the road and you find your way here. It wasn't too bad this morning. I don't know how it was coming to 11 o'clock. It wasn't too bad. But we're glad to have any kind of weather, to be honest with you. We had weather in Ohio when we visited our kids and grandkids, and I think you had warmer weather here than we had in Ohio. The one big difference between the weather there and the weather here was the humidity. And so Carolyn and I wore our coats inside most of the time we were there. Yeah, my kids thought we were strange. Well, I mean, I know we're strange, but I mean, it was cold in Ohio, let me tell you. We were glad to get back home safe and sound. And we hope and trust all of you had a great Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for the reading of your holy word, for your message for us today from the book of Ephesians. May we be guided by it as we meet in your name, as we seek its wisdom for our lives, and as we plan for a new year. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you've heard it said before, if life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. If life gives you lemons, you just simply make lemonade. And in many ways, this has been a lemon of a year. When you take a look at 2008, man alive, the year gone by has been a lemon. The Gazette came out in the editorial section. I don't know if you saw it on, January the 1st. And it listed sort of all the lemons of the year in one of the editorials. The earthquake in China took the lives of 12,000 people. You remember that event. Hurricane Ike devastated Texas. The war in Iraq continues. There was the Russia-Georgia conflict, the terrorism attack in Mumbai, and then the political backbiting and rumor-mongering that took place during a presidential campaign. And, of course, the accusations that the Illinois Governor Blagojevich tried to auction off Barack Obama's Senate seat to the highest bidder. Well, that was something. Of course, there was the housing market nosedive, federal bailouts of the banking and auto industries, the devaluation of the dollar on the global market, and, of course, the recent conflict that we see between Palestine and Israel and the movement of the forces into the Gaza Strip. And you couple this with sickness, which we've experienced in the congregation, the loss of loved ones near and dear to us, and the impact of the economy on all of us in one way or another, we can't help but seeing lemons as we look into the past. They were there for us. And sometimes we felt like they were being thrown at us in so many ways. We're hoping that 2009 will be a vintage year for lemonades. All kind of lemonades in our lives. Not too many weeks ago, and it really wasn't that long ago, it was one of those autumn-winter days that should have been in spring or summer. And I happened to be traveling throughout Woodmore doing a little visiting, and I took one of the side streets and came across sort of an unbelievable sight. There were two young girls out there with evidently a card table with a little sign on the front of it, and there was a big pitcher of lemonade and some cups there for people to buy their wares. And I looked at that, and I had a double take, because here in the midst of doom and gloom, there were two children with the audacity to be smiling and believing that in this off-site way that people would stop by and buy their lemonade. I know they thought in their mind if they would sell two cups of lemonade that day, they would be wealthy. Oh, how we learn from children. Inc. magazine loves the spirit of lemonade stands. I don't know if you get the magazine or know about their lemonade stands, but they love the spirit of lemonade stands so much that a few years back they started a contest to honor the best lemonade stand in America. Well, you can imagine what happened when they advertised the contest. Entries with pictures came in from across the country, and optimism could be seen on the fresh-faced kids smiling behind their pitchers of that golden drink. And more often than not, the young CEOs were sponsoring the lemonade stands for the good of other people. Well, the winner in 2007, I looked at all the years that they've been doing this. A couple of them stood out in my mind. The winners in 2007 was Grace Bova from McCungie, Pennsylvania. The reason that stuck in my mind is because I don't have the slightest idea where McCungie, Pennsylvania is, even though I'm from Pennsylvania. She got her whole neighborhood involved in a lemonade stand to raise money for cancer research in response to the plight of a neighbor who had melanoma. She thought it would be good to do something in honor of her. So Grace called it the Race Against the Sun Lemonade Stand. Well, that sort of makes sense to me. Friends and neighbors got together, and in a weekend, they raised $4,000. Now, the best story this last year was about a couple of kids from two different families where cancer had struck children in those families. And they wanted to do something, too, so they decided to put up a lemonade stand. But they not only had their lemonade stand, but they had Mom's Baked Goods as well for sale. And on the other side, they pulled in a band to play while people came and bought their lemonade. They ran this on a Saturday and Sunday. This is the best lemonade stand ever. And in those 2 days, they raised $5,400 for cancer research. Because children have a belief and a wisdom and an understanding of life perhaps we don't get as adults. Wow, they could see so much good in a lemonade stand making a difference in the lives of people. Wow, the best lemonade stand ever. Now, I realize it may be hard to appreciate lemonade stands in the dead of winter, or even that our church would think maybe of putting one out on County Line Road. We may get some newspaper reporters showing up, but not too many other people trying to figure out what in the world are you doing out in this kind of weather with a lemonade stand. But it's not hard to understand this whole concept when you see what Paul is getting at in today's text from Ephesians. It is his way of saying that he wants his life and our lives to be much like the very best lemonade stand ever built in this world. And that's not a bad goal for the first Sunday of the new year. While the opening lines of Paul's letter is sort of bubbling over with optimism and excitement that makes for a great lemonade stand anywhere. Listen to his words as translated in the Message translation. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the highest places of blessing in him. You see, in the Greek, if you look at the Greek, original Greek translation of the original Greek before it's translated, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 is all one sentence from beginning to end, from 3 through 14. And the whole thing reads like a breathless, exciting greeting from one who has his life together and his lemonade stand is fully equipped and ready for the first sale. You have to take a deep breath as you start in verse 3. Hoping that breath will last until you get through verse 14. That's the kind of passage it is. Paul may even sound like a hyped-up kid peddling cold drinks to passers-by, but what he is really doing is passing on to us the truth of infinite value that will be worthwhile to each of us in a new year, the refreshing and renewing benefits of a life in Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about, and it's much better than lemonade. The amazing thing in all of this, this comes from a man who claims he is an ambassador in chains, that he pens this while he is in prison, and he has this kind of optimism and this kind of enthusiasm for the early church and its future. What are the benefits for you and for me in the new year? Paul breaks these down, I think, into three essential ingredients. We're just going to take a brief look at them this morning. That should enable his readers to mix up a fabulous brew for the present and future lives and for our present and future lives as well. First, in verses 4 through 6, the key element in that is a very, very simple passage. We are chosen by grace. We're chosen by grace. Before the foundation of the world, God had planned its salvation and destined us for adoption as God's own children. I love this. Why? Because in God's sight, we were created to be somebody. Wow. Not just a piece of dirt, but somebody. By God's grace, each one of us is created for the greatest things on earth. Wow. The Message translation reads, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. As you look to the new year, take a look at this passage of Scripture. It says you were made holy and blameless to be part of God's plan for the future, not to wither on the vine. God wants us to accomplish something great, and God can do it through us for the world in which we live in today. That's how powerful you are. He's created you to be something, be somebody in the new year in an exciting way because God chose you personally, wow, to be a child of his. Perhaps these words could be yours. I don't know. Listen to them. They impressed me so much when I came across them that I wanted to share them with you. These are words from a real saint. I am a disciple of Christ. I will not let up, look back, or slow down. My past is redeemed, my future secure. I am done with low living, small planning, smooth knees, mundane talking, and small goals. My fate is set, my goal is secure, my road is narrow and tough. I am a disciple of Christ. I must go until he comes, speaking of all I know of him, and work until he stops me. Whew. Those are mighty powerful words. Where do they come from? The journal, the last journal entry of a Zimbabwean pastor who was martyred for his faith. Martyred for his faith. I must go on until he comes, speaking of all I know of him, and work until he stops me. We've been chosen to do so much. This could be our first journal entry in the new year as we look toward the future. Well, second, Paul says, we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed by his blood, by the blood of Christ. Now, for some of us, starting the new year is a daunting task because the past was a heavy burden. I don't know how you deal with the past. All of us deal with the past differently. Some of us are haunted by the past because of memories we either have in our childhood or our adulthood that sort of transformed us in some way. Some of us remember the recent past when things happened in our lives, an illness, the loss of a loved one, a divorce that took place, an incident that happened in the past is not pleasant to think about. The past. Paul tells us to get a grip. He says we've been released from the bondage of past sins, and in Jesus Christ, the slate is wiped clean. I love that. In Jesus Christ, the slate is wiped clean. The past is clean. It's good. Forget it. Let it go. Let the past go and look to the future. This is part of the plight of the Christian church. We spend so many days with our eyes in the past, we forget our goal is to the future. It's the future that calls us. In Christ, we have a future not to endure, but to live life in its fullest because Christ lives for us. Charlie Brown was looking for some advice, and he knew where to turn. He was going to Lucy's psychiatric stand. Well, it's their lemonade stand, as you know, and the sign was out that the doctor was in. And so Charlie Brown went to see Lucy. Charlie Brown, of course, is the patient. And the following dialogue begins with his comments to Lucy, which include a simple statement. Doctor, could you please tell me a great truth? Well, she thought about it for just a moment and smiled, and because she knew she could do that. After all, she was the doctor. And she said this, and I quote Lucy for those of you who would like to jot it down. When you are getting a drink of water in the dark, always rinse out the glass. There might be a bug in it. And then she held out her hand and said, 5 cents, please. Well, Charlie Brown thought about it a little bit. And as he handed Lucy the nickel, he thought to himself, great truths are even more simple than I thought. The simple truth is that you have been freed from the past and given a present and a future in Jesus Christ. There are no excuses for you not to live it in its fullest. It's time to get busy. The lemonade stand is calling. There's a lot of work to do. You have been redeemed. Now get on with your life and look ahead to your future. Well, the third thing that inspires us in this passage of Scripture, I think, is this verses 14, 11 through 14. We have obtained an inheritance. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever obtained an inheritance. I never knew anybody who wanted to leave me anything. An inheritance. And we usually equate an inheritance, well, first of all, with a lot of money. We inherited $500,000 and we have to figure how to spend it. Or we have inherited Aunt Minnie's home. And now we have to get it ready to do what? To sell it. It's in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. And not too many people live in Shamokin, Pennsylvania anymore. So we might as well try to sell the house and get what money we can out of it, and at least we can put it in our IRA about 7 years down the road from now. And so we think about that. In the ancient world, an inheritance was usually received in the form of land that was never given away. It was something that was kept forever. They often still live that way in Europe, by the way. They've owned a house that's been in the family for generations and generations. They wouldn't even think of getting rid of that house. And oftentimes you'll find three and four generations of families living in the same house at the same time. This was much the way, sort of like it was with the Israelites when they were enslaved in Egypt, longing for the day that they would return to the land given to them by their forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They longed to go back to the land, not to sell it, but to live there because it was theirs right from the beginning. What is the inheritance given to us? What is that promised land? For Paul, it is a new and renewed world made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It'll be completed when he comes again. But Paul said something that we often forget. Look at his words. They're not mine. They're his. Paul said, we have obtained the inheritance. That is, it is now, as well as in the future, we are called to spread the wealth of our inheritance to God who has blessed us with so much. The message says it well. In Christ you are home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and live life in its fullest now. Sometimes our biggest problem is that we become so heavenly bound that we are no earthly good, and the future calls us to have one foot in heaven and the other on earth and do something about it. We have a great inheritance that God has given us. Let's do something about it. Paul sums it up this way, and I love his comments. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstance. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Well, we have the recipe and something refreshing to offer the new year and to the people in the new year. We've been given the tools and the ingredients and the menu to put together the best lemonade stand ever. One that quenches the deepest thirst of the human soul. Now is the time to get to work. 2009 is the time to get busy because the world is waiting to see what we will do.